Hello, everybody, and welcome to Backstage Gaming, dramatic takes on your favorite games. I'm Chris.
And I'm Dylan.
And we're back again. This week's going to be a little amuse-bouche, a short, fluffy take this week, because we're both tired and busy, but we wanted to get something out there. Hey, Dylan, what are we talking about this week?
Hey, Chris, do you remember from, like, a month ago, Bidoof's Big Stand, that animated Pokemon short?
I absolutely do, in no small part, because we talked about how we wanted to record that, so I rewatched it shortly before.
Well, don't break the illusion. That was like an indirect, like, hey, does the audience remember this thing? Because if not, you should check it out. It's
you should
really
go
cute.
Watch it. It's absolutely delightful. But yes, I do remember that, Dylan.
might actually be one of, I mean, I can't really speak for the entirety of Pokemon animation, because like they've been doing a lot and I haven't seen a lot of it, but Bidoof's Big Stand is an 8-minute computer animated short starring everyone's favorite Pokemon, Bidoof. That's a lie. I can't think of a lot of people who really like or even appreciate Bidoof, and
yeah,
that's kind of what this special's about. Let's hop into it.
Yeah, and what was it about it? Like, we'll get into the special, but I'm curious, as a sort of like, to set the stage of why we're doing this, what was it about the special that made you want to bring it in for a BSG discussion, Dylan?
Well, like I was saying earlier, like, Bidoof is kind of a maligned character. He's you know, as his name implies, he's got a very doofy design. He's like a, for people who aren't Pokemon fans or aren't familiar with Bidoof or Bidoof's Law, Bidoof is a Pokemon, looks kind of like he's like a beaver Pokemon. He's got a big red nose, a black muzzle, whatever the fur patch where the eyes are, I don't know what that's called, but like, it's kind of a light yellow. I remember when it came out, I thought it was kind of a gaudy design. I wasn't too fond of it.
Sure.
Zigzagoon, it is not.
No, it does not have the charm. Like, it very much is there to fill the Zigzagoon Rattata kind of early area Pokemon that looks like a rodent,
yeah,
design space.
Something that you get because it's the early game, and like, yes, you can train it to be a decent Pokemon, but like, you're not, I think as far as stats go, if you're super into the meta of Pokemon, like, you're not going to be holding on to one of those very long.
Yeah. So let's get into this special. We can do sort of a brief,
yeah, I don't want to like kind of get too far ahead of it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Did you want to do like a, did you want to kind of go through it beat by beat, or do you want to hit like synopsis and then talk?
I think we should just do a synopsis. This isn't Dude, You Remember Macross, which yeah, you can check out at anchor.fm.
Smooth like butter. No. Finish the plug.
Okay. All right. anchor.fm/dude you remember.
Finish the plug.
That's what I believe it is. Do you want me to give like the whole pitch? Or?
No, you're fine. That's okay. That's plenty. But yeah, so this, like Dylan said, it's an 8-minute animated short. It's on YouTube. You should absolutely go watch it if you have not seen it, or even if you have seen it but haven't rewatched in a while. Like, it's an incredibly charming little animation.
Yeah. And we're hoping episode can help you appreciate it even more.
That's what we can hope for. But we see this group of Bidoof, a gaggle, I suppose, of Bidoof doing their thing in the wild, but there's one who has the sniffles. He keeps doing little sneezes, and he's just causing trouble for the Bidoof herd. He's annoying them.
He's just
them.
An outcast. He's just, yeah, he's a little guy.
He's just a little fella, and he's causing mischief, and nobody seems to really appreciate him. And then he gets into a bit of a misadventure. We see him wander away, and he sees a pair of Pliplups splashing in a river, and they're having fun together,
and
then
they
see
want
him
nothing to do with him.
Yeah, they want nothing to do with Bidoof.
They
and
give
we see
him
Bidoof
the stankiest of eyes.
It's true. And then turn their little beaks up and wander away. And then Bidoof is laying under a tree, and he finds a berry, and he's about to have a nice berry snack when he is set upon by an enormous flock of Starlies. Is that what they're called?
Starlies, I think that's what they're called. Yeah.
Yeah. You would think I know this. I've been playing Pokemon Legends Arceus, and I caught like 18 of these rat birds, and I can't remember what they're called.
I think they're called Starlies. It's been a while since I've played Gen 5. Well, I think I played a little bit last year, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. So he's running with his berry away from this. You know the scene in Finding Nemo with the seagulls? It's like that. and then a Staraptor, which is the evolved form of Starly, gets in the fight and is about to send our little Bidoof friend straight into an open grave when a Pokemon trainer happens by, and with the aid of his Lucario, they save the Bidoof. And Bidoof sees the Pokemon trainer and the Lucario high five, and we see that, like, this is all the Bidoof wants in the entire world.
That level of affection, and yeah.
And so the Bidoof sort of peer pressures the trainer into taking him along.
Really just kind of sidles up and is like, hey, you're pretty cool. I can be pretty cool, too.
Yeah. And then we get a little montage that I think is honestly like one of the more clever bits of the animation. So if you have not played a Pokemon game, especially in they've moved away from this design a little bit in like the more recent ones, but
thank God too.
Yeah, no kidding. But in the early Pokemon games, the way that they were structured was like, honestly, took a lot of influence from what would become it didn't take influence because this genre wasn't defined as a genre yet, but it had sort of a Metroidvania-ish kind of progression system in like the absolute most base sense possible.
The way I would compare it to is like, as an RPG, Pokemon has elements of adventure game design, and key component of adventure games are lock and key level design. And so in something like a Zelda game or a Metroid game, a way to get past a progression barrier might be like, you know, in Metroid, you use 5 missiles to open up a red door. Or in Zelda, you use a hookshot to go across, to cross wide gaps or something.
Yeah.
Pokemon's version of these kinds of key items are hidden machines, or HMs. Which they are moves that you teach your Pokemon, and they will do them. If you approach, like, say, a tree that needs to be cut down or a rock that needs to be pushed, you would use the move that corresponds to that obstacle.
Yeah.
And usually, like, sometimes it just removes a barrier. Sometimes there's a puzzle involved.
Sometimes it's you have to go into a dark cave. Like,
yeah. And these HMs kind of suck because they are mandatory moves that you need to have to beat the game, but they also they take up a slot for your Pokemon's repertoire. So like,
yeah, your Pokemon can only know 4 moves, and so you need Cut to get through the game, but Cut is like it's not even that Cut is bad, it's just that Cut very quickly becomes outpaced by the moves that your Pokemon want to learn later.
It's like, I want my Charizard to be able to breathe fire. Why do I need to teach it Rock Smash?
And so a common strategy in these games is you find a Pokemon that you can teach as many of these HMs to as possible. So if you can find a Pokemon, and usually a Pokemon like Bidoof is a frequent example of this. You just catch whatever Pokemon, one that you don't ever intend on really using to play the game and to battle other people, but you teach it Strength and Cut and Surf and Rock Smash, and then while you're exploring, you have that Pokemon with you to cut down trees and to push boulders.
And, you know, all your other Pokemon are Pokemon that you actually give a damn about, because they are part of the meat and potatoes of the game, which is RPG combat.
Yep.
But, you know, you'll have your HM user, like HM dedicated Pokemon that's really just kind of taking a slot.
Yeah, and so we get this montage in Bidoof's big stand where we see Bidoof using Cut and using Rock Smash.
and using cut and using rock cut. Smash.
Yeah, and like every time it like he progressively gets less and less excited about getting popped out of the Pokeball. You know, his trainer always gives him a berry and thanks him. It's like it's clearly the trainer clearly appreciates that it is doing these tasks.
But also just completely does not like reciprocate the high five Bidoof is clearly asking for every time.
No level of like actual affection here. Bidoof
is no respect. It's just hey, thanks for being a bud.
Here's
bud.
A tip. Back in the
Here's
ball.
A tip.
And then the montage abruptly ends when Bidoof is called out of the Pokeball again in the same way we've seen happen like 4 or 5 times over this montage, and he looks completely done, and then he looks around and he is the last Pokemon on his trainer's team in like a big Pokemon battle.
His Lucario got like completely rocked by a Geodude or a Geodude
Golem.
Or Graveler. Golem, thank you. It's
yeah.
God, it's been a minute. Which is a rock turtle Pokemon.
Then we get a sequence of Bidoof takes the Graveler down, which makes sense. He has Rock Smash, so like
that paid off.
I don't think
that actually adheres to the mechanics of the game, but we'll forgive it because
yeah, it doesn't matter. Like it works in the fiction of the animation.
I know. I'm just poking fun at like people who talk about the anime like it's gotta
the Pokemon anime doesn't follow the rules. Bitch, I grew up watching Yu-Gi-Oh! That shit didn't mean anything.
The Pikachu took out that Rhydon by attacking the horn. It doesn't work like that.
But then the enemy trainer sends out his final Pokemon, which is a Staraptor, and we see Bidoof have a little bit of a PTSD flashback.
I think it's the same Staraptor as well. Let me check real quick.
It certainly looks the same, but then
I think there might have been a moment of recognition.
But yeah, so Bidoof does not want this fight, but then goes in anyway and gets his shit wrecked for a little bit before giving it one last go, and we see his sneeze save the day. He jumps up to try and get to the Staraptor as the Staraptor is, I think, hyper beaming at him.
Yeah, it is.
And he sneezes his way out of the range of the hyper beam at the last moment. It's very much like that scene in fucking Dragon Ball Super where Goku is surfing on an energy blast.
Wait, what?
I feel like that had to have been an intentional reference. I'll send you the video in
Please
a sec.
Please do.
And makes contact and closes the Staraptor's mouth so its hyper beam knocks its own ass out and wins the day.
Very painful, by the way. Like,
yeah.
Have you ever like held in a sneeze? I feel like
yeah. Have you ever held in a sneeze, but the sneeze was lava?
Your sneeze is a Kamehameha wave.
Yeah. He takes him out and he gets his high five. He's the hero. The crowd goes wild. Everyone is blowing up over this Bidoof. He gets the high five from his trainer. The high five sends a fucking shockwave out. I loved that. It's fucking delightful. But yeah, that's the end. We get a couple like snapshots in the end credits of Bidoof and his trainer having a good time in the world. And that's really it. It's like I said, it's a brief thing. It's like a 10-minute short. I really cannot recommend it enough. It's incredibly fun and charming. But what I think is really fun, we were alluding to this as we were going through it, it really does play with people's understanding. Like it's very clearly made for fans of Pokemon as a game series.
Yes.
And it's very much built on this sort
of
shared understanding.
This type of Pokemon that you have just because they are purely a means to an end. Honestly, it kind of makes me think of Toy Story a little bit. and you know, it's kind of the existential horror of being disposable to that which you to someone you love.
Yeah.
You know, obviously this is an 8-minute short and it doesn't have quite the runtime or, you know, depth to explore that as like Toy Story would, but I think it's just, it's a cute little riff on this community in joke, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that made this short super appealing to me is that, you know, like I was saying earlier, like, I don't think Bidoof has a very appealing design, or at least I don't think Bidoof has a very appealing design to many Pokemon fans. I'm sure Bidoof has his fans. I don't think this short would exist if there wasn't at least one, you know? But... Oh, did I get disconnected? Or
no, I'm still here. Oh, I'm just listening to you.
Cool. I got the notification for the Dragon Ball video, and I thought you were messaging me like, I can't hear you. But I think the Bidoof here is so expressive and is not personified, but I guess humanized in such a way that, like, it really turned me around on that design.
Yeah, there's a really good, it's a really great performance, given that it's a little hamster beaver thing. Like, the animators did a really, really good job at making it sympathetic.
Right, and, you know, basically when Bidoof's face lights up, when he sees the trainer, the gradual, like, kind of disappointment and bitterness...
Yeah,
as he realizes that this is his purpose in the party. Just a lot of really fun stuff going on here. I don't know if I have like a ton to say on this, but I guess it's just I wanted to talk about it's fun to me how Pokemon, because I feel like Pokemon always plays with the game mechanics or the game presentation, like, throughout the anime's run.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess this is the first time I saw something that was, like, so wholly dedicated to just, like, a single element of the game.
Yeah. But what I think is incredible about it is, like, I went into this with the knowledge, like, I've played a fair amount of Pokemon. I have not played every game in the series, but, like... Mm-hmm. I grew up playing them, and I've gotten back into them as an adult. So, like, I came at it with the understanding of, and, like, getting the kind of meta joke that they were building this plot off of.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, you don't need to get that to still appreciate what's happening. Like, it's... I think that this short really rides the line really well of making... something animated and something that you're intending for possibly a wider audience based on a game without, like, requiring game knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you didn't know anything about Pokemon as a game series, say you were just a fan of the anime or just a fan of the card game, you could still watch this and get, like, the narrative arc that they are laying out and get all of Bidoof's journey. You might not recognize, you wouldn't recognize, like, oh, this is a direct riff on what people do in the video games, but, like, you don't need to for the story to be satisfying.
Of it. You get the relationships between the characters are incredibly clear in a way that is easy to, like, see and easy to understand.
Yeah, it's just, it's really well done and it's really delightful. And again, I can't recommend watching it highly enough. Also, like, you mentioned Bidoof having an unappealing design. I think, like, I agree with you, but also, like, Bidoof's design, I think on, like, I hate bringing up words of, like, objective when talking about aesthetics because it's nothing, but, like,
but I get what you mean.
It is appealing. Even the less loved and less iconic and sometimes kind of ugly Pokemon designs have a certain amount of an innate appeal to them. The artists working on them have got this down to a certain science.
Yeah, when I said Bidoof has an unappealing design, I mean that, like, I've talked to a lot of people in the fandom who are just kind of like, wow, fucking Bidoof, am I right?
Yeah, it's, like, goofy, it's yeah, silly, it's not for everyone.
I don't think it is intrinsically a bad design.
I just wanted to kind of make that explicit, because, like, I think that... Mm-hmm. When you're talking about a series like Pokemon with so many creature designs, there are going to be ones that feel less good and there are going to be ones that feel more good. Like, I think that you can point to Pikachu and the other three Gen 1 starters as some of the, like, most scientifically appealing designs ever put into a video game. They're just cute and good, and they get across what they're about. And when that's like the bar that you're setting, there's gonna be some flops, and Bidoof is kind of a flop. But like, you give him a place to shine, and you put some good characterization into that little guy, and goddammit, I love him a little bit more now.
So yeah, I don't think there was a whole lot here. Like, I just wanted to kind of shine a light on this this little animated short, but I did kind of want to pick your brain about Pokemon Legends Arceus, how are we pronouncing it, Chris?
I say Arceus because that's the only thing that makes fucking sense, but Pokemon are cowards, and they didn't want it to sound like Arce was in the name of one of their Pokemons.
Hold on. I think Arceus is the one that makes sense. Let's hear your explanation in favor of Arceus.
Okay, let me put it this way. Arceus makes sense if you want to look at it from like a Latin point of view. Arceus makes more sense for if you're just looking at it like English language phonemes.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. But it does. This is not.
No, it's just kind of curious. Whatever. Yeah, no,
I got you. No, it's. I honestly have been having a lot of fun with it. It is. Mm-hmm. I think that there are some elements of it that could be iterated on. I think that there are some elements of the presentation of Pokemon Legends Arceus that. And this makes sense. It's their first, like, really big break from the sort of Pokemon formula in a really long time.
Which is kind of nuts for a console RPG.
Yeah. So, like, I'm not surprised that there's some stuff that I don't love, but, like, overall, it's kind of what I had, what I wanted Sword and Shield to be.
Okay.
Like, it feels really good to just be, like, sneaking around and, like, oh, there is a Pokemon that I don't have. I'm just going to throw a Pokeball at it and see if I can catch it.
So, I know that the game has a greater emphasis on catching Pokemon.
Yes.
It is more overtly about filling out your Pokedex than it is about... Like, there's no gym leader challenge.
That's correct. There are like non-Pokemon catching related things that you are called upon to do. Okay. But like the main call to action is you are helping to compile the first Pokedex.
Interesting. And so, okay.
Yeah, which is really cool. And so what you do is catching a Pokemon does not fill out the Pokedex completely. Catching a Pokemon is one of a number of tasks that's tied to each Pokemon. And you can fill out the Pokedex entry by completing... I haven't, like, cracked exactly what's going on under the hood, so I don't know the exact numbers, but if you complete enough of the tasks in each Pokemon's checklist, that will fill out the Pokemon entry completely. That can be catching a bunch of them, it can be catching them in a particular way, it can be defeating them in combat, it can be seeing them use particular moves, whether it's an enemy one or if you catch one and have it use that move. And so there's a real emphasis on, like, getting a lot of exposure to each Pokemon as you go through.
Interesting. That kind of makes me think of, this isn't exactly the same thing, but, like, it kind of makes me think of Pokemon Snap, where you're not just taking pictures of Pokemon, you want to catch the Pokemon in various behaviors based on how you can manipulate them with key items.
Yeah, yeah, that's not a bad way, like, and that's not a bad point of comparison.
Okay, cool. I really dig that. That sounds awesome, actually.
It's very cool, and that's part of why just being able to be like, you know, I don't want to battle 18 Wurmples. Mm-hmm. So if I can just see a Wurmple and be like, eh, chuck a Pokeball at it, maybe I catch it, maybe I don't, and then continue on in the direction that I'm trying to walk.
Oh, that sounds charming.
It's really charming.
That sounds more
than
charming. That sounds like a fucking godsend, honestly.
It's very delightful, and then like, There are alpha Pokemon, so like there are Pokemon you can just run into them in the wild that are like larger and more aggressive versions of other Pokemon, and you can maybe catch them by just throwing a Pokeball at them, but more likely you'll have to actually battle them. To battle a wild Pokemon, you actually have to like pick what Pokemon you want to go out and throw your Pokeball with a button press at them.
Oh, interesting.
And then you can still, like, walk around in the open in the overworld while the Pokebattle is happening.
Yo. Okay. It's, like, I'm just going to make this clear really quick. I have not looked into Arceus at all.
That's so fair.
Like, this is all like brand new information for me.
Yeah, yeah. You have a dodge roll button because if you don't get your Pokemon out in time, the wild Pokemon might throw moves at you.
Yeah, okay. I have seen clips of that happening.
Yeah. It's like, is it, there are definitely some growing pains, I would say. Uh-huh. Like the map feels kind of samey and there's no mini map functionality, and like navigation as a whole isn't the most fun aspect of it, which is a shame because it's a big open world game, but it's not so bad that I'm like,
is there any kind of like signposting at least?
Not a ton. Which, like, again, it's not bad enough that I'm like, oh god, I can't stand traversing the world, but like,
right,
it doesn't have the same,
it's something to tweak, I guess.
Yeah, like,
it sounds like to me,
as a point of comparison, like, it's drawn a lot of comparison to Breath of the Wild because it's got a very similar kind of, like, you've got a big open world, go and wander. Mm-hmm. Breath of the Wild's world is just full of, like you were just saying, sort of natural signposting. It's very easy to, like, pick a point and have your bearings. Mm-hmm. I haven't felt the same way in Arceus yet.
Got it.
I'm sure that if I wanted to sit here and list other nitpicks, I could. Mm-hmm. But, like, again, I'm not surprised that there are some points where I feel like the friction of them doing something new after 20 plus years of kind of having their game formula set in stone. And what's new is, for the most part, really, really fun and really charming and feels like what a modern Pokemon game was eventually going to feel like. And I think it's really cool. I've been having a lot of fun so far. I've only put in a handful of hours so far. I'm not super deep, but that's my two cents.
Everything that you've said about it honestly kind of makes me think of, like, what I pictured a Pokemon game to play like when I first saw the commercial for Red and Blue back when I was 5.
Yeah.
And that sounds really cool. That's exciting. I might check it out eventually. I don't know. I got a lot on my plate this year.
That's very fair.
Video games go.
I am in the same boat, but I was getting myself a birthday present, let's put it that way, and I'd seen enough, like, of the gameplay that I was like, okay, no, this looks like something I'd actually enjoy giving a try to, so.
I think what's exciting for me, because this sounds kind of like, I don't want to say a tech demo, because I feel like that's selling it short, but I feel like it's definitely a proof of concept, and I wonder if, for whatever the next iteration of Pokemon is going to be like, are they gonna take a look at the success of this game and be like, now we are doing Pokemon Legends and that is Pokemon now? Or do you think, like, maybe they'll try to incorporate some of traditional Pokemon, the multiplayer, the different versions?
I would love to see
form system, like, basically Sword and Shield, but the wild area is handled more like it is here.
Yeah, I don't know, like, I would love to see them keep this method for, like, Pokemon encounters, catching Pokemon, Pokemon battles in the wild. I think that, like, I think there's a middle ground between, like, the Pokemon, you know, the mobile game Pokemon formula that, you know, as set in stone as it became, was good. Like, it's a good layout for a game.
Right.
I would love to see something with a little bit more of that structure, but with Arceus's sort of moment-to-moment mechanics and, like, I don't know. I really hope they keep a lot of the mechanical improvements. Catching Pokemon in this game feels so much better than it ever has before. And I would love to see that. And, like, being able to, like, move around the field and, like, see the Pokemon battling from different angles is really cool. And, like, there's a lot of interesting stuff that I think, if they iterate on it and work it into, you know, your typical Pokemon gym badge collecting spree, would make for a really cool experience. And I'm really, more than anything, I guess the note I want to leave this on is, this game, more than Sword and Shield by a wide margin, has me excited to see what the franchise is going to do from here.
That's excellent to hear.
Yeah. I don't know what that's going to be, and I don't think I want them to keep everything from Arceus, but there's more in Arceus that I want them to keep than I want them to look at and say, okay, never again.
Just looking at my raw impressions, because I haven't played, the last Pokemon game I played was Sun and Moon, and that was, like, only a little bit of it. But I think what I would like is, because I, when I think about like the fantasy of Pokemon, I really like the, I don't want to say like modern fantasy, but like, that's really kind of what Pokemon is. You're in like a modern society with like, you know, trains and construction workers. And I don't know why that's what I thought of, but you know, it's like, it's a very contemporary world that just happens to be populated by magical creatures. And I love how hard Sword and Shield kind of leans into the story as being like kind of a sporting event, and having all these characters kind of competing to like be the top Pokemon trainer. And it's like been, I feel like it's been more overt there than it ever has been before.
Oh, absolutely.
But I also love the element of exploration in Pokemon, of just like kind of being in the wilderness, and like, you know, you have all your little magical creature buddies to survive. And I feel like between those two games, there is a perfect Pokemon game for me that completely, you know, completely sells the fantasy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I would definitely recommend giving Arceus a try. Maybe, you know, if you've got a lot of other stuff on your plate, maybe pray that Nintendo has a sale someday. But
that's never going to happen. But I think, like, yeah, between Elden Ring, Final Fantasy Stranger of Paradise, and Kirby coming out,
King of Fighters 15.
King of Fighters 15, like, you know, and I'm currently playing Tales of Destiny, which recently got an English translation patch. Yeah,
Sifu dropped today for
Sifu
Deluxe.
Dropped, and I wanna take a look at that at least, you know?
Oh, it's so, I've been having a blast with it so far. It's quite hard.
Oh, I believe it. I'm gonna look up some gameplay, because I mean I've seen gameplay, but I'm just kind of interested to see like what the final build looks like.
Yeah, for sure.
Before I completely jump in, but yeah, a lot of exciting games. Maybe Pokemon one day. Maybe.
I think that'll probably do it for us for today, though.
That's what I was about to say. Pretty short, sweet episode. Sorry for the delay in episodes.
Life has been a lot recently, y'all, but we're trying
in a good way.
Get back onto it. And we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Until then, thank you so much for listening to Backstage Gaming. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that this maybe gave you something new to appreciate about Pokemon animation. Do go watch Bidoof's Big Stand if you haven't, or if you want to revisit it. It's delightful. And let us know about your favorite, like, it doesn't have to be Pokemon necessarily, but like video game animation tie-ins. I know that a lot of the Overwatch and Team Fortress 2 animation shorts are pretty great, but I'm sure there's others out there that I'm not aware of. So please let me know about great video game shorts if you want to. Dylan will tell you how to reach us on social media in just a moment. But before that, let me remind you that you can find us wherever you get your podcast. That's the Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, your podcatcher of choice. If any of those allow you to leave ratings and reviews, we would appreciate that. It really does help kind of push algorithms in a helpful direction to have nice ratings and nice reviews out there. So feel free to drop positive ratings if you like what we're doing. Otherwise, hey Dylan, what about, I have to talk about our website, bsgpod.com, where you can find out more about the show and send us a direct contact link if you want to get in touch with us that way. Anyway, Dylan, social media.
Yes, so if you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Facebook and our Twitter, where our handle is at @BSG_cast. Also, if you want to engage with us, and in fact, I'm going to pose a question to you, the listener. What is your favorite underrated Pokemon? What do you think is a Pokemon that is underrated, that does not get nearly enough love? It could be Bidoof. It could be Houndour. I just pulled a random Pokemon out of my hat. But anyway, no matter what the Pokemon is, when you tweet it, we would love it if you use the hashtag BSGPod, which, like Chris said, gives a little bit more traffic our way.
Yeah, I'm going to have to think on that. I will respond to this call to action once the episode is up, Dylan, my own Twitter. Okay.
I have to think about it, too. But anyway, huge, huge thanks to our friend Brendan French for the key art he has provided our show. If you dig that, you'll also dig his stuff on his Squarespace at brennan-french.squarespace.com. That is brennen-french.squarespace.com. You can also find him on Instagram.com/BrennanFrenchArts or on his Twitter @Brennan_French.
You should also go check out our friend BioQuery. He's the musician behind our theme song, Dot Sound Radio Volume 1 Instrumentality. And you can find all of the rest of his electronica music by going to soundcloud.com/BioQuery. That's soundcloud.com/BioQuery. Or by searching for BioQuery on Spotify. Thanks, as always, to the HB Video Game Podcast Network for having us on the network. It's a great network full of podcasts about video games. And if you like our show, you're sure to like some of theirs. So go check out at HPVG Pod Network on Twitter for more of that. And thank you to our patrons at patreon.com/bsgpod. It is thanks to you that we are not losing money making this show, and that is an enormous privilege, and we appreciate that so much. If you want to help support the show, that is a great way to do that in a very direct manner. So go ahead and head to patreon.com/bsgpod if that's something that you feel motivated to do. And with that, I think we can wrap up for the week. We'll talk to you in another couple of weeks. Until then, goodbye, everybody.
Boop, boop, badoof.
Ha ha ha!